A lot of stuff going on here at the podcast and everywhere else. Sleuvid Records is restarted, coming back in 2021. And listen to Barry Smith tell his wonderful story about faith and all the things that he's done. Dale Wiley Show at heroesandmiracles.com and .org. We are now officially live. I'm sitting here with my friend Barry Smith, who actually just gave me a little drum concert. And so,
glad that's over.
That was fine. That was wonderful. Now, let's just go back to the beginning. Talk about you and me and Crane when we were working on stuff, because I just signed a deal to restart Sleuvid Records. And I want to hear about you actually on that. You had a part in that story, didn't you?
I did, and you know, it's funny that all happened. Me and my wife have been talking. I have been in Greg Roller's studio over here in Branson, Missouri,
right?
And I have actually been finishing up the album that I started, that I was going to record with Lou Whitney,
okay, right, years ago,
and never got the chance to.
Right,
and it was right around the time, just a little bit before Eric Edmondson went in with the Straight Winds.
Yes,
his
exactly.
Album over there.
Exactly.
And I never did. I was, during that time in my life, I think I was too drunk to get an album finished. So
well,
that's
and
just, you know, the truth.
That is. Yeah. And you know what I remember that is you actually kind of lived above the studio for a while, right? Or above the Sleuvid Records headquarters.
Well, I squatted above Sleuvid Records,
okay,
in the apartments that were, yeah, above the laundromat over there right next door.
Right.
And I remember I worked over at the cafe across the street for a little bit. They had mercy on me and let me work over there. And it was really sad for all the customers. And let me tell you what, Beulah would feed me every day.
Wow.
Yep. She took care of me. She said, I don't know who this crazy boy is from across the street, but I know he's got to eat. So
right.
She let me serve during breakfast time over there. And then after lunch, she would send me home usually with a little cup of chili or something and feed me.
That's
every day.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And that during that time, I think I was probably, and of course, we knew each other before then. You,
right,
you served as a substitute teacher and
I sure did.
Assistant teacher, you know, while I was in grade school and high school.
Right.
And so we knew each other from there. And
yes. And you would actually come down and play songs for me.
Yes, yeah. I started playing guitar at 11, and then I quit just abruptly after I lost my guitar, and it broke my heart, and I just kind of quit playing. It actually disappeared at a drama party at our house. Some of the drama students were over, and it disappeared, and so I kind of, you know, got brokenhearted over that and I quit. But then at 15, I got another guitar. I got an electric guitar and I got the, you know, the chord poster from Walmart that had on it. And I started learning from that. And I got really into a lot of drop D stuff at the time.
Right.
A lot of heavy metal, Pantera, Slayer, things like that. And then, growing up in Crane, there weren't very many musicians, especially not rock musicians.
Right.
And so I never really could get people together to start a band. So
have a band, yes.
I started moving more the acoustic direction to where I could play and sing, you know,
because
it was a little more complete than just me and a guy showing up with an electric guitar and just playing, you know.
Right. So,
and then around that time that you had started Sleuvid Records, I'd really gotten into songwriting. I'd started writing. And I'll tell you, most of that music was just my pain, you know,
right,
and a way to deal with my pain and express my emotion with a lot of the things that I've been through, you know. And of course, I had a pretty serious drinking problem by then. I think I was 18 years old, 17 or 18 then.
Right.
And but the music was very raw. It was honest, you know. It was different, and whenever I went through some things more recently, you know, in my testimony, what happened when we had to close the church down, some of that old pain started to surface again. And I was like, you know what? I never did get that album. I never got this out of me, you know?
Right.
And so I started back in 2018, working on that album. And, then I hadn't done anything with it since, the beginning of 2020 had been sitting, and I'm sure Greg's like ready to blow the dust off of it, get it finished and out of his studio.
Sure.
You know, well, I'll be going in on the 6th, to lay down all the electric guitar parts.
That's fantastic. So cool.
And vocals. Yeah. So, I had a great session drummer came in and did some of the songs, and my brother or buddy, Brian Duvall is going to come in and do a couple more on the drums. And, but yeah, we're going to lay down the leads. After that, it's just some backup vocals and then some touch up vocals. And that secular album will be, it'll be finished. And really, I just finished it just to get it out of my heart, just to get it on the vinyl or on the CD. And for some of my friends and family to have it, you know, I have no ambition to do anything with it other than that.
Right.
But I want it to be one of those things that I don't regret all my life never doing.
Right, exactly. And that's part of the same thing with me restarting Slewfoot, is just kind of like closing circles, if we say that.
Yep, you know. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm kind of in a way, God's got me. That's a good way to put it, closing circles. That might be the name of the album. You watch out.
Well, I'll give you, got credit. You can use it anything you want. That's wonderful.
Well, you know, when I was in Crane Tuesday night, I was sharing my testimony at Breaking the Chains. And, you know, part of the reason that I'm back ministering in Crane is, as God kind of took me back to that, God was like showing me, hey, I gave you a place and people to serve with and minister with. And Barry, you fled. You took your ball and you ran, you know, to Reed Spring and did ministry there. And then it didn't turn out the way I thought it would there. So I planted a church in Branson, you know, and listen, God got glory in all of it and people got saved, you know, and names got added to the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's not all lost. But for me right now, in my own selfishness, looking at my own situation, I would say, you know, God's saying, hey, go back and finish what we started.
Exactly. You
know, and close that circle.
Exactly. You know,
and listen, it's not a to-do to check off the list. These are people in the city that were my friend, that are my friends, that are my ministry partners, that I wasn't there for the way I needed to be, and I need to be there for them the way that I'm supposed to be, and let them be there for me the way that God put them in my life to be. And you know, and it's been hard, man. You know, my bass player passed away on Good Friday of this last year, and he was a really close brother and a mentor, and and just went gone way before his time. 52 years old, Thumper Richard Kent, you know, left this planet. I mean, he so got to go be with his best friend.
He was so loved. But so that's kind of my thing, just kind of like talk about you and talk about your testimony.
Well, you know, I mean, of course, we've got the previous testimony, but it was, you know, it was from before. And people can go back, right? They still have the opportunity.
Absolutely, yes.
The Dale Wiley Show.
DaleWileyShow.com. All it's there. All the episodes are all there.
Okay. And they can kind of get the backdrop with a little more detail. But, you know, for the long and short of my testimony, you know, I grew up with pain like a lot of us do from various things, whether it's, you know, friends passing away or parents with a troubled marriage or, you know, no parents at all. Everybody's got their story, you know.
Everybody
has to go through stuff. And I went through stuff, you know, and as a teenager, I kind of rebelled, obviously, you know, and I was brokenhearted, and I ran from God, and I ran towards drugs and alcohol full speed. I got into dealing drugs. I mean, you know, to stay high, I had to, you know, sell and whatnot. And to stay drunk, I had to stay playing guitar at parties and, you know, doing whatever just to keep doing what I was doing. And then, you know, 19 years old, my son Jacob was born. And I always say this in my testimony, I wish at that point I would have said, okay, now I'm a father. It's time to get things right. But I didn't. You know, and I mean, that's one of those regrets in my life. But, you know, my son and I have a good relationship. Matter of fact, the last time that, not the last time we saw each other, but the time before, we were on our way in to the house. And you know, we don't have real heavy conversations without laughing a little. We're very
exactly. Sad, you know?
And so I was like, you know, I wish I would have been there more for you, you know, and I know I wasn't. And, you know, we were talking about things, and he said, he looks at me with a smirk and he says, Dad, I'm glad we can bond over your absence. And we both laughed.
Well, that's how you do it. That's how it goes.
Definitely. You know, and looking back, you know, his mom did such a great job raising him. I probably would have been more of a detriment if I was there every day. Who knows, you know, but, you know, that was one of my big regrets, one of my deep hurts. And one of the things that I think even worse catapulted me into addiction was feeling like a failure as a father.
Right.
And then a couple years, you know, down the road, working in nursing, God started working on my heart, you know, ministering to the residents, them ministering to me. And I think I joked about this with my testimony the other night. My very first sermon, I think, was in the Alzheimer's unit, which is probably good because nobody would remember how bad I messed it up, you know, but we said that, you know, they knew every song.
Yes.
They knew every word to the hymns. They knew how to keep in time, and they knew how to worship.
Yes.
You know, and that, you know, God began to grow my heart some during that time. And, you know, while I was working in nursing, that's where I met my wife. That's where, you know, God started to take me outside of myself some again, you know, and kind of give me purpose again. And then as I got a little bit older, you know, we had the girls, Josie first and then Lola. And, you know, I kind of went through this struggle in my 20s of trying to stay plugged into my faith, but feeling like a failure and then going back to drinking, you know. And,
it's easy to feel that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and the problem that we have a lot of time, we want to please God so badly that we try to do it perfect and we try to never make a mistake.
Try to be perfect. Yes. That's the way to say it.
And, you know, if you read the gospel, man, God's not putting that trip on us, man.
There are so many mistakes in every bit of the Bible. That's the whole thing. It's all mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't care if you're Abraham. He got it wrong, lied about
it. Abraham got it way wrong a lot of times.
You know what I mean? You know, David murdering his best friend to cover up his affair with. And I'm not saying that God liked any of those things, but you know, what I did learn about God with that is, hey, when God makes a covenant with a man, he keeps it. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. He's saying, look, no matter how messed up you are, this is what I said is going to happen. So I'm going to bring that to come to pass, you know. And I know that God made covenants with me, you know. And so sometimes I just got to get past myself to allow God to be who he is in my life, you know. And I'm the biggest stumbling block for that. But at 30 years old, that's when I think I had my biggest breakthrough. Because I had my greatest, I think, one of the greatest struggles of my life with falling back into addiction and alcoholism. And now my kids are older and they're to the point where they're starting to see what's going on, you know. And I remember one of my breaking points in that was one day my daughter Josie coming up, just a sweet little girl, you know, and dad trying to show me something, and I'm drinking beer in the backyard and hanging out with friends, and she's trying to show me something. I'm like, hey, I'm busy, you know, and I kind of push her away a little. And then just a little bit after that, the country song Walk a Little Straighter, Daddy came on.
Right.
And it just broke my heart, because I realized that's what my daughter was feeling in her heart was, hey, I need a dad, you know, not this. And so God began to convict my heart at that time. And shortly after that, I was in my driveway, and there was some things going on, and I was about to make some, I forget how my sponsor used to say it. He said, don't let a temporary situation allow you to make a permanent mistake.
Right.
And I was kind of at that place. And I just cried out to God, and I'm like, God, I can't stop. I can't get out of this. I need your help, you know? And he did. And just after that, I met Thumper, and we started playing music together. And then he twisted my arm into going to Crane Christian Church. And I'll tell you, my life was never the same after that. You know,
more with Barry Smith after a minute. DaleWileyShow.com and HeroesOfMiracles.org. My name is Dale Wiley. Welcome to Shining Star. I'm going to tell you a story my dad kept from me despite the fact that he and I were very close. Now he's got dementia and he can't tell all that he knows, but what I never understood is while he took me around to see all kinds of concerts and baseball games and political events, why he never told me about the Shining Star. Come along as I do some digging and find out the details from friends about what a miraculous story and what a miraculous dad my dad was, Robert Wiley. He was a lawyer for many years and a better person. Hear his story of what nearly derailed him.
Certainly he was a role model to me, and I tried to emulate him.
Right.
Helped me when I got started. In fact, probably kept my family alive until I became prosecutor.
I just went back to his integrity that he wasn't going to hand anything out.
There weren't anybody or didn't anybody better than your dad.
We're setting up a Heroes and Miracles website at heroesandmiracles.org or heroesandmiracles.crypto if you'd like to send some digital cash our way. We're so thankful, and I'm so glad that you're along for the mission of all these things that we're doing and the lives that we're changing through Heroes and Miracles. And thank you to my dad for being the best dad ever and telling and not telling me the story. My dad kept from me the fact that he'd won a Bronze Star in Vietnam, and the miraculous story of how that came to be and all the things that I learned in getting there. It's a miracle story. Listen to all four episodes and learn the story of the Shining Star.
Because there was something in the water in Springfield, Missouri.
Hey, don't forget me. I'm Brenda Lee, and we're all going to have fun tonight on Oh God Jubilee.
There you go.
The Missouri Music Podcast, hosted by music fan and the founder of Slewfoot Records, Mr. Dale Wiley.
More from the wonderful testimony of Barry Smith, heroesandmiracles.org.
I said yes to Jesus, and Pastor Bruce Beelan just... Right. Taught me how to humble myself some and to listen and allow the Lord to speak to my heart and convict.
I love that guy. He's so fantastic.
I've never met a pastor that, and I'm not saying they're not out there. I'm just saying I never met a pastor who understood the grace of God and was able to convey it, to speak it and in such a way that you could receive it and believe it was for you.
Yes. As pastor. You know, every message for you. Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, and as I grew in my faith, I'm like, I realized one of the great giftings that he has, not that he needs to hear that and get his head blown up so big it won't fit in this screen anymore, but is that, you know, he always preaches a salvation message, but it's like a buffet, no matter where you're at in your faith, whether you need milk or whether you need some prime rib in the Lord, it's there, you know, with every message.
And, exactly.
You know, and so I think I'd like to think that I learned some of the ministry that I do from him, you know, and that it's helped me to grow. I'll tell you, the problem is, no matter how much you're taught it, I think humility has to be earned through experience and failures.
Yes. You gotta learn by falling down. That's clearly right.
Yeah, you know, or at least that's how I had to learn, and I'm still learning. You know, and but I joked Tuesday night when I was talking about writing a book, you know, 150 ways to not do something by Barry Smith. You know, because one of my greatest strengths is my large number of failures, so I can a lot of ways to not do
it. Join the club. I'm there too, definitely.
So you know what, I spent over 5 years at Crane Christian Church getting poured into and getting to minister with great friends and family over there. You know, we went and we had Celebrate Recovery for quite some time there. And even after I left, you know, Lee and Leisha continued that ministry on, and several others, you know, Thumper was one of them. And my friend Joffrey. And, you know, Mary said, hey, you know, this town doesn't need less meetings and less ministers.
Exactly.
And more ministry. And she started breaking the chains.
No doubt.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things, if I never got anything else right, was that God spoke to me and my wife to be in relationship with Mary whenever Mary got sober. And man, if I could, I can't claim any of that for me, but if there was one success story from somebody that got touched by ministry at Crane Christian Church, Mary has touched thousands of lives and thousands of, you know, and that's not an exaggeration. Since the day that she got home and got, you know, started serving the Lord from rehab, she has
been constant.
Non-stop, you know, taking people to rehabs, taking people to meetings, taking people to church, praying for people, helping people get delivered out of addiction, you know. She, you know, she's been doing this meeting now since, I think, 2015. You know, so she said, like I said one night at the meeting, if I was able to give one word to give a testimony for Mary Hodges, that word would be faithful.
Right.
Faithful. Because that's what she is. And listen, faithful, sometimes you think, okay, well, that means they really stuck to something. No, what I'm saying is she is full of faith in what God has done for her. She is convinced, no matter what else anybody tries to say, that everybody else can have what she's received from Jesus Christ. You know,
she's full of that. That's faith. A big part of the story. Yes.
Yep. And she proves it with what she continues to do day after day. She inspires me. I'd like to say, oh, I mentored Mary Hodges, but the stuff that she does, I can't say that I've not been faithful like she's been faithful. You know, I'm not beating myself up. I'm just saying the reality is that she is true to her calling.
She sets a high standard, definitely. And now let's talk about one of our other friends, Tiffany Brown, and the wonderful book that she's written. Talk about her and all the stuff that we're doing for her.
Well, and, you know, and you say I wish I could be more involved, but I haven't been as involved as
You're involved. You're part of the team, definitely.
But
being here is huge.
Tiffany, you know, I want to paint a little bit of backdrop. I've known Tiffany since grade school.
Right.
We went to school together, but I think we ran into each other in the same circle years ago at a church in Aurora. Uh-huh. And, you know, we grew up together. A matter of fact, whenever I was going into junior high school, you know, she was just really one of those people that shined a light for Jesus. And I was one of those people who was really a bully to kids like that. You know what I mean? And, but you know what? That didn't stop her from continuing to speak the truth that was in her heart.
Just constant person, constant.
Yeah. And you know, Tiffany is another person who is, you know, we could all look at someone's life and say, well, this could be this way or that could be that way. But one thing I can say about Tiffany is she has never stopped believing in the power of the cross, you know, she continues to minister to people and continues to, you know, I think the book that she wrote will be the key to a lot of women's freedom and a lot of men's freedom, a lot of people's freedom.
It's such a powerful and well-written book. That's a big part of this. Impressed by that.
What I've always told people in the ministry is your testimony is the key to someone else's freedom, you know?
Right.
Because there's so many, and I'm not talking about the Me Too movement, but there's so many people that when they hear your testimony, they can identify. You know, they can say, me too, I've hurt that way. I've felt this. I've struggled with that. I've, you know, and stories of overcoming are inspiring. And, you know, and the most beautiful thing is when that story points to the cross, because we know that, you know, that's why God chooses who he chooses. It says he's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Right.
You know, I mean, right now there's no telling who and where that book is reaching on this globe from a little old country girl in Crane, Missouri. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, and there's people reading this, and there's more people that need to read this. Listen, if you're local, if you know Tiffany, if you get a chance to read that book, I'm telling you that you are going to know somebody that this writing is going to have an impact on.
Between, you know, depression and marriage troubles and everything. It's just such a great book.
If you haven't been through one, you've probably been through the other. If you haven't had troubles in your life, you haven't been on this earth very long. So
right. That's right. And, you know, and then we're doing a podcast about my dad. We had two more episodes of that, which is going to be fun to get out there. So I really feel like what we're doing on Heroes and Miracles is really kind of, it's a cool addition to the ministry, addition to this world.
Yep, absolutely. And just so you all know, that's not a halo. That's a light bulb in my garage.
We would not
have reached a new level here of sainthood. No, anybody that knows me knows that's not true, and they figured there was a light bulb up there. But anyway,
what I want to do with this is the same thing I've done kind of throughout the day. Is I want to have the Heroes and Miracles half hour at 8 o'clock, and then, you know, just get people on here at 8 o'clock and have them give their testimony, because I really like all the things we've started to do, and I really like things we're going to be able to do.
Well, and, you know, we got, about 4 minutes and some change left, and, you know, I'll just kind of wrap up and dovetail a couple of things.
Absolutely.
Know? So going back to the testimony, kind of where it's at, you know, I talked earlier about how we were in Crane, and then we went to Reed Spring, and then we came to Branson. And listen, I still have no doubt that there's unfinished business in Reed Spring that the Lord wants to complete, that there's unfinished business right here in Branson that God wants to, I mean, we know it's everywhere.
Right.
But for the story of this turd floating in living water, there's still some things that I think, you know, need to be completed, both, you know, for the areas, for my story and a lot of other stories that have yet to be seen, a lot of other names that are yet to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I think, you know, after we came up here and we launched the church, we ran into some hardships, you know, and I can say a lot of things, you know, there was some issues with the church planning network, but the reality in retrospect, looking back, even with issues, I mean, those were things that could have been overcome. And it's been hard for me to look at my own heart and just really be like, where was I at as a leader? You know, where was I at in comparison to what I was trying to do as far as being ready, you know, and being sure of my calling in the season. And what I really found out was that I'm excited to be who God says I am, much that I'm real good at getting ahead of him. And I also found out that, listen, a pastor is not a guy who gets up and preaches on Sunday morning.
Right.
A pastor is the guy who's at the hospital when you're sick. He's the guy who, when you're broke down and you're hurting and you're lonely, he shows up, you know, with the one who checks on you through the week, the one who noticed you weren't at church. And they're not calling to make sure that you attend next Sunday. They're calling to make sure that you're alive, that you're living, that you're walking out your faith, and that you know somebody's there to hold your hand and help you walk with Jesus. And, you know, and it's not that I don't have a heart to do that. It's that I was not in a place in my faith to have the capacity to carry that sort of burden, you know. And so, you know, somewhere God's taken me at some point. I believe so. But, you know, Mother Teresa said this, and I believe it's very powerful and very true. If you want to save the world, go home and love your family. You know, the Bible says it clearly. It says, hey, you know, take care of your household first. And if you can't take care of your household, then, you know, it's hard to run a ministry and take care of other people. And so it's like, you know, all these things, learning to balance life and ministry. And I'll tell you what, man, I've got a whole nother story sometime about the hotel business.
I know.
That's what God brought me into, you know. And it was, I was a high school dropout and a drug addict and an alcoholic and no career path and anything else. And little by little, as I walked out my faith, God has made a way. And I'm no story of rags to riches by any means, but, you know, God has given me an honest living and career path that, that I'm happy to do. You know, it's given me a purpose, and I feel like I'm, there's areas that I excel at it, a lot of areas I need to grow at it, but I'm blessed to be able to manage one of the, you know, maybe top 10 properties in Branson, Missouri. And who would ever thought that the drunk 16-year-old barefoot crazy kid from Crane, Missouri, walking down the street with a half gallon of whiskey, a joint, and a guitar would have had the opportunity to be able to manage a place with, you know, employees and have relationships with them that are good, and, you know, with customers that are good, and a you know, a place where, yeah, I mean, only God can do something like that, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, I just remember, I just loved, you loved music so much, and that was true for the first time I met you. You were as big a music fan as I was, and that was so fun.
Yep, and I still am, you know. I, of course, as I got saved, I got a lot more into gospel and Christian, Christian hip hop and things like that. And Seeds of Agape, the Christian band that I'm in, we're working on an album right now. Thumper was a monumental loss, you know, as a friend, as a mentor, as a colleague and a fellow musician and a minister of the gospel. But I'll tell you, I've also been really blessed with Chuck, because Chuck is our new bass player. And let me tell you, that dude's mentoring me right now. And he's speaking into my life. And You know, and he's been great friends with John, my other guitar player, who has an incredible stories to tell. And I mean, builds guitar amps from, you know, an empty circuit board all the way to tubes and everything. And, has a brand called Sly Pig Amps. He's built a few, you know, and they are
That's awesome.
Amplifiers. Yeah. So I know we only got a minute left. I'm going to let you, wrap this thing up, Dale.
Well, I love doing this. This is the first one I've done. I enjoy it. I want to have people on here. I want to make this a thing that we do every Monday through Friday night at 8. And I want to get this thing started and make it bigger. And if you get a chance, donate to heroesofmiracles.org because that book by Tiffany is the first piece. What's that?
Dale, I've got a group that I just joined on Facebook, and maybe we could do something similar, but this group is called the 99%. And okay. If you want to look it up on Facebook, you can. What this group does is, I forget how many, I think there's like 1,800 members right now.
Okay.
But every Friday, they pick a person and they draw their name, and everybody sends $1 every week.
Wow.
And it's a huge blessing to the people that are able to. And listen, I don't care if my name is never picked. It's $1 a week, you know.
Sure.
And think about every week somebody is getting blessed from anywhere from $500 to $1,800.
Right.
And who couldn't use that in a time like this?
Exactly. You
know? And I mean, we could do a thing for Heroes and Miracles Ministry because I know there's so much more folks that is planned for this ministry, so many stories to get out. These platforms are only expanded by finances. Right now, just like Parler, look at what happened because they didn't have the finances to have their own servers. Right. They got shut down, you know?
Right.
And so this is a chance for us to invest in something that we know is good, that we know will help people.
Right.
You know, so let's talk about that, Dale, on a following up podcast.
That sounds great. I would love to get
started like that.
I think that sounds great.
I think we could do the same thing. Only what we could do is, hey, everybody, as you start to join the group every week, I say maybe we do $2 every week. And $1 goes to Heroes and Miracles. The other dollar goes to whoever's name gets drawn.
And we start right
here on the show every week on the
podcast. I love that because you always have these amazing marketing ideas that I just think are so full of God and so full of, I just love the things you think of every single time.
You know, this is a great opportunity for us to bless each other as the body and bless this ministry. So, you know, this is like a 50-50 cash drawing every week to raise money for Heroes and Miracles.
That's pretty cool.
Let's get that Facebook group started, Facebook group, and I will donate the first dollar to Heroes and Miracles and to whoever gets drawn for next Friday. How about that?
Let's do that for next Friday. That's an amazing idea.
If you're on this podcast, be looking out for the Heroes and Miracles Facebook group.
Right.
Where we will do the drawing. And I'll be sending out invites to people on my friends list. And I'll encourage all of you as you get into the group and you do that. And the way that it'll work is it'll be similar to what these other folks are doing. As you get on there, make sure that you get entered into the spreadsheet. We keep a spreadsheet. And then every week somebody gets picked off of that spreadsheet. And then so everybody knows the way that you're eligible to win that drawing is that the week before you show that you gave $1 to Heroes and Miracles, you post it on the group, and you show that you gave $1 to whoever the winner was. Now you are highlighted and you have the opportunity to win and be the one that's picked the next week. That's how you enter to win the next week is by giving the week before. $2 a week. Who can't, you know, and maybe there are some that can't out there that can't do it. If that is you, hey, message us and let's see if we can't help you anyway. You know. So
all right, man. What a great first Heroes and Miracles half hour.
All right. Well, Jesus is the only hero in here, but we're both miracles. So
that's entirely true. You really need to go to heroesofmiracles.org and learn more about Tiffany Brown's wonderful book.